So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Tomorrow, October 2nd, is the feast day of our guardian angels. What a special day to have celebrated in the liturgical calendar. Do we actually think about celebrating our guardian angels? Do we think to be grateful to them? I know I fail. I will raise my hand at expressing gratitude to my guardian angel. We'll talk a little bit about what angels are briefly to kind of help us ponder tomorrow's feast day of the guardian angels. Also, today is the feast day of Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower. Joining me a little later on during the show will be Sister Tina Alfieri. She is so many things, from a hermit and nun to a certified sexual addiction therapist, a recovery coach for addictive disorders. And we're going to talk about behavior modification, overcoming our bad habits, perhaps even addictions. We're going to unpack why this 6-week challenge that we're kicking off today, if you're joining us, the screen challenge, going no screen, deplete the screen, delete the apps as much as possible, no TV, no movies, no shows, no excuses. Why? Well, we'll talk a little bit more with Sister Tina Alfieri here on Trending about that. If you have a question for her surrounding any type of spiritual direction, addiction, maybe filling in the gaps of habits, which is one of the challenges that we'll discuss with this 6-week challenge, go ahead and give us a call. The number's 1-888-914-9149, or you can also ask live on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. Also, as promised, we didn't quite get to this topic, and that is discussing in-law relationships. We were going to discuss it during our marriage hour, but lo and behold, it just needed to be a Friday conversation, because who doesn't need some humor and inspiration at times? I find it fascinating. Whenever people talk about in-laws, it's always kind of the butt of jokes, but let's talk about it from a Catholic perspective. We'll do that here today on Trending. Okay, let's talk, and if you're just joining us, I'm Timory. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Oh, my 5-minute notification just came on Instagram letting me know I have been on Instagram for 5 minutes today. I'm just going to pat myself on the back, and the fact that it took until pretty late in the evening to hit 5 minutes for the day. These are good reminders, very good reminders. Remember, going no screens as much as possible. Grant, I am working and talking to you via my technology as well. So again, there's a balance. There are certain things you have to do to get life done, to communicate with loved ones, to get your work done. So find that balance. Have some accountability. We'll talk all about that 6-week challenge here on Trending. Okay, so it's the feast day of the guardian angels tomorrow, October 2nd. Just a couple little nuggets to ponder our guardian angels. First, it's important to understand angels as a whole, a few things that set them apart distinctly from us human beings. Guardian angels, number one, are actually infused with knowledge of things. They understand the essence of things at their creation. At the moment of their creation, God infuses them with the knowledge of, for example, understanding human nature, understanding everything about God. He reveals himself totally to them. He reveals the essence of things and creation and good and evil, all of these various things. And the angels in that moment also have a choice. They can essentially choose God or not God. In other words, the beatific vision or to be damned. Now, the guardian angels have this instantaneous infused knowledge, and they have an instantaneous choice as a result of that that they can make. And that choice, different from ours, is permanent. The way their will works, the way their knowledge is, there's not this slow discovery of God. There's an instant discovery and full knowledge of God for the angels. So when they make their choice, they make a fully informed choice of God or not. In other words, a beatific vision or to be damned. So here's what's kind of cool. When we bring this to the conversation about our guardian angels, whose feast day we celebrate tomorrow, and I hope you'll share this conversation with a loved one. The podcast will be available later tonight, and you can share that on your guardian angel's feast day tomorrow. That's actually a really special thing to do as an act of gratitude for your guardian angel, not just to pray to them more, to be thankful, maybe even have some sort of celebration, go to Mass, but to also share about guardian angels with others. So here's what's neat about specifically guardian angels when we're discussing angels. So we mentioned that they have infused knowledge. They have an instantaneous choice, God or not, because they have full knowledge of whether or not they'll choose God or not to choose God, not to serve God, which is what Satan and the fallen angels did. So our guardian angels, each and every single angel actually has a task, a mission. Now, for guardian angels, the task and mission would be you or I, depending on who that guardian angel is assigned to. Now, this is really cool. At the beginning of creation, in this moment of creation of the angels, the guardian angel had to choose not only to love God, but whether or not to accept their mission. It's really cool when you study angelology. It's fascinating. So in other words, your guardian angel chose to love you at the beginning of its creation, at the beginning of its life. It chose to love you, to serve you, and to be a guardian for you. What does love mean? That's a million-dollar question right there that we all are working to practice. But if we look to St. Thomas Aquinas and the great history and tradition of the church, it's to will the good of the other. So what your guardian angel did, what my guardian angel did at its creation, after choosing God, was to choose to accept its mission that God had in store for it. And that guardian angel, yours, chose whether or not to love you and to guard you. Now, the question will come up, of course, well, what if my guardian angel was one of those angels who chose to reject God and therefore to reject its mission? Well, then God would give you another angel. It's very important to no one has a defect in terms of having a God-loving, God-fearing guardian angel. We all do. But isn't that powerful? That our guardian angels literally have their mission in life to protect, guard, and guide us. Now, we can be more open to the promptings and the intervention of our guardian angels, or we can be less open. We can also be completely unaware of how much our guardian angels are actually working in our lives. But I want to encourage you, as we celebrate their feast day this Saturday, October 2nd, that we make an effort to pray to our guardian angels for their intercession, and to thank our guardian angels, to turn to them in moments of need. Let's pray together the guardian angel prayer, and if you don't know it, I encourage you to learn it. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God loves commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. From sinful stain, O keep me free, and in death's dark hour my helper be. Amen. These are prayers, simple prayers, where we can ponder our guardian angel, the Hail Mary, ponder the Fiat, the intercession of Our Lady. Our Father, to turn to our Father in the words of Jesus Christ. This is why it's so important to memorize prayers. There are many other prayers we can pray, we can memorize, from Holy Spirit prayers to litanies. But I want to encourage you, whether it's scripture or written prayer that you wrote or is a part of the tradition of the church, use them. They enrich our faith life, especially the guardian angel prayer. I'm Timmeri. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri. It's also the feast day today of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, Thérèse of the Child Jesus. And I thought it was rather relevant that today is her feast day, because today we're kicking off a lot of things. I mean, talk about the month of October. We have a lot to do here, to pray and fast with everything from the 40 Days for Life campaign that's occurring all month long, praying and fasting for an end to abortion, in front of the abortion clinic, but also not in front of the abortion clinic if you can't make it out there. But I encourage you, if you can, head out there, even if it's your first time. Maybe you prayed at a 40 Days for Life campaign in front of an abortion clinic for the first time recently. Or maybe you remember the first time you did. I'd love to hear from you. The number's 1-888-914-9149. Here's the deal, though. There's also a campaign that Relevant Radio, EWTN, and the Napa Institute have launched to pray a rosary a day in this month, the month of the rosary, to pray specifically for an end to abortion, to pray for an overwhelming amount of support for women who are pregnant to pray for our Supreme Court justices and to pray for the outcome of this Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, which is the Supreme Court case that will start being heard in December addressing abortion and, God willing, the reversal of Roe versus Wade, Doe versus Bolton, and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. These tragic, unconstitutional, unscientific cases that somehow became the law of the land in the United States and must be abolished. We can do something about it by praying and fasting. And I think that one of those means of fasting that we can engage in, you know, everyone says, well, I don't know if I have time to pray a daily rosary. It's actually really easy to find 15 minutes to pray a rosary. 15 minutes in your car, 15 minutes while you fall asleep at night, when you can't sleep at night, instead of watching a show. But here's one way that you can find a little more time in your life. And that is our 6-week challenge that we've launched here on Trending. 6-week challenge. I shared all about it earlier in the show this week. And we'll actually post a link in the podcast notes for today's show, as well as on social media now, if you want to listen to what exactly the 6-week challenge is. But it's for the next 6 weeks, starting today all the way through November 12th, you're going to shut down your screens. Turn your phone screen to black and white. Delete all apps. Stop watching TV, movies, put it away. Replace that with your joy activities, which I discuss Monday during our happy hour. You can listen to the podcast. Pray your daily rosary that we're inviting you to in the month of October. Work on getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep. Read 4 pages of a book each night. Do the other things you want to do and choose to do because you'll have extra time. Cook, clean, sleep, be social. Joining me now here on Trending on Relevant Radio is Sister Tina Alfieri. She is a hermited nun. She is also a certified sexual addiction therapist, a spiritual director, and a recovery coach for addictive disorders. And while we're kicking off this 6-week challenge and we're praying and fasting for an end to abortion, praying our rosary daily, I want to unpack the topic of behavior modification, overcoming bad habits. I thought this was a really important topic, and who better to talk about it than with Sister Tina. Sister Tina, welcome to Trending.
Thank you, Timmarie. It's nice for you to have me on again. I appreciate the invitation.
What tips, Sister, do you have for making this challenge successful? Starting to pray our rosary daily, fasting, you know, detoxing from all technology to the best of our ability, and while honoring the needs that we need it for.
Right. So I think the first place to begin is just to acknowledge that change is hard. Change is difficult. We are creatures of habit. We like our coffee the same way every morning. We put our clothes on the same way, the shoes on the right foot. If we try to do it the other way around, it feels strange or awkward. So we just need to acknowledge that change is hard, but can we always improve and do better than what we are doing now? Of course. And we are called to perfection. Perfection in the spiritual life means to constantly improve. On this earthly plane, none of us are angels. We're not going to live as angels on this earthly plane. That's for heaven, when hopefully we all get there. But we just need to keep improving. So that's what the Bible means by to be perfect as the Lord your God is perfect. We can't be like God. We're not God, but we can always be better and we can always be improving. So it's to take stock of those areas where I'm wasting time, spending more time than maybe I ought, and to use the time more wisely. We want to always grow in virtue. I believe wisdom is a great virtue. We need to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of how to best spend my time here on earth. And I don't think it's looking at pictures of, you know, celebrity houses on Instagram or, you know, the latest fashions coming off the runways from Paris or the latest music. There's a time and a place for that, especially if it's our livelihood. If I'm a fashion editor for a magazine, maybe I have to do those things. But in my off time or my free time, I should be using my time a bit more wisely. And what better way to use it than honoring God, asking our saints to intervene and intercede for us, etc.?
So the follow-up question with that, I think, would be, what do we need to fill our time with? And this is an important question because so often you take one thing out of your life and you either are obsessively thinking about it and then you cave and you just keep doing it, or you fill it with a different bad habit. So what do we need to fill our time with?
Well, we need to fill our time with things that are doable. Now, I love this. The saying, pray as you can, not as you can't. So if you've never spent 15 minutes in mental prayer before, it's probably going to be pretty daunting to try to start out with 15 minutes. Let's start with 5 or 7 minutes. Let's do what we can do. It's like lifting weights. We have to build up through exercise, through repetition, how much weight we can bear. And our spiritual muscles have to be developed as well. But not doing anything is not the answer. We have to start somewhere. And so understanding that maybe I want to sit down and pray an entire rosary, whether that's the, all the mysteries, one mystery. If I've never prayed the rosary before, maybe that's too much to start with. Maybe pray one decade. If I've never prayed the rosary before, start with a decade. Maybe a decade in the morning, a decade at my coffee break, a decade at lunch, a decade in my afternoon coffee break, and then another decade before I go to bed at night. And then throughout the entire day, I have prayed a rosary.
That actually follows on a really important question that I had, mm-hmm. and it touches directly on it. So maybe you have a little bit more feedback still in this area, because I think this is so important. When we talk about filling our time with prayer, what would you say are the best types of prayer to use when replacing it with a bad habit to be broken or just wanting to modify our behavior?
I think one of the things that I really love to do is call on the help and the intercession of my patron saints. My patron saints, I love them. I encourage everyone to have a couple of heavenly helpers, 3 or 4 that you go running to and that you ask for their intercession, that you have little prayer cards, that you maybe know some prayers for them. Or that you are often thinking of them and commending yourself and your prayers to them and asking them to please help with their prayers for your intentions. I'm a big believer in the communion of saints, and they are our cloud of witnesses. As it says in Scripture, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Saint Therese, whose feast day it is today, the little flower, she said that she wanted to spend the rest of her heaven doing good on earth. And it's not just her. The saints are there to help us. And I really encourage people, have a relationship, not only with your guardian angel, which you were discussing earlier, tomorrow's a feast day of the guardian angel, but also to develop a relationship with some patron saints. And there's so many ways that we can do that. We can pick a patron saint related to our profession in life, whether we're a businessman, businesswoman, aviator, printmaker. There's a patron saint for every profession out there. Maybe our state in life, a mother, a father, a teacher, maybe. So there are patron saints, and some of them, their stories, the way that they lived their life, or things that maybe happened to them in their life that we can relate to. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, injured in battle, you know, great military man, injured in battle, and he couldn't fight anymore due to his injury. And that was a great conversion point for him. So I encourage folks, have several patron saints that are your best friends, that are your holy helpers, and that you go to and ask their intercession.
I love that. It's an important reminder. Maybe you feel like, I don't know any saints in particular. Well, start to pray, Lord, you know, send me a spiritual friend. Send me a saint who will be my intercessor before you, whose mm-hmm. life I can learn about. I mean, just pick up a book of the saints. There are so many modern saints from St. John Paul II, St. Mother Teresa, to name a few. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always start with the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. They're my favorite. Some people joke that those are cop-outs, but I think they are the best and the strongest. So why not start at the top and then work our way down if in yes. doubt? Let's talk briefly about adoration. I think that dedicating, especially when we're removing things from our life, at least spending 1 hour a week in adoration is something that every faith-filled person I know who is truly striving for the kingdom, fighting to be in a state of grace, does. An hour of adoration a week. If you've never been to adoration regularly, if you're using this to swap out some bad habits, modify your behavior, grow in your faith, what are some first, like, good go-to practices when spending an hour before our Lord in adoration?
Certainly. So, yes, what a fantastic question. Adoration, if you've never been or participated in adoration, most of the time when it's individual adoration or at a chapel where you can come and go as you please, it's not an actual event with corporate worship, but it's an individual prayer time, it's usually done in silence. So we're not disturbing the two or three other people maybe that are in the chapel with us. So it's usually done in silence, but that doesn't mean that I don't come prepared. I encourage folks, spend that hour making a prayer list and praying for the people on your prayer list. You're there in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus is there. He's waiting for you. He's listening to you. Have that prayer list ready. Pray for all of the intentions of your dear family, your dear friends, your dear enemies. Bring holy books to read. Of course, scripture. But besides scripture, read some of the lives of the saints. Maybe try to ask God, Jesus Christ, to help you find that patron saint, that holy helper.
Amen. That's Sister Tina Alfieri. She's an addiction therapist, a recovery coach for addictive disorders. We'll be right back with Sister Tina. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It is good to be in the midst of a Friday evening, wherever you are, folding laundry, driving home from work, whatever it is that you might be doing, running, going for a run. Thanks for joining us here on Relevant Radio and spending your Friday with us or a little bit of your time. I want to encourage you, if you've not already subscribed to the podcast, head over to relevantradio.com/trending. We have a ton of resources there for you, from each of our virtue series, the four cardinal virtues, justice, prudence, temperance, fortitude, that is courage, and more. It's all there, along with how to meditate upon the seven joys of Our Lady, you name it. So be sure to subscribe at relevantradio.com/trending. Joining me now on Trending is Sister Tina Alfieri, and it's always a joy to have Sister Tina on because she has an incredible background. She's a hermit nun. She is an expert spiritual director. She's a certified sexual addiction therapist, as well as a recovery coach for addictive disorders. So if you have a question, you have just a couple minutes here. The number's 1-888-914-9149. Sister Tina is joining us as we're talking about this 6-week screen detox challenge that I'm kicking off today. If you're joining us, I'd love to hear from you. Let me know how it's going. I've explained how to do this in an earlier show, and we will link to that in the podcast notes for today's show, as well as post that show on social media. If you want to know what the how-to is, also post it on Instagram sometime over the next day. But the big thing is, when we take things out of our life, we have to fill in the gap. And one of the things that I hope and pray that you are filling in this gap with, as you're getting rid of TV shows, you're getting rid of live screen streaming, movies, social media, or excessive text messaging, or whatever it might be, I hope you're filling that time with prayer. We're talking about different types of prayer you can incorporate in your life. But one of the questions I have, Sister Tina, with our short attention span today, how do you overcome two things? an obsessive or wandering mind that is obsessing on one thing or just distracted while we're incorporating more prayer in our lives?
So distractions are a fact of life. Distractions are a fact of prayer. We can get better at managing them. Will we ever not have them? Doubtful. But we can get better at managing them. And we just need to be very gentle with ourselves, not get upset at ourselves, not to get exasperated or frustrated. When we are in prayer and we find or we become aware that our mind has wandered away from Jesus in front of us or Jesus in our heart, we apologize to God, to Jesus. I'm sorry, my mind has wandered. Help me to redirect my soul and my spirit back to yours. And in the beginning of prayer, learning how to pray, we may need to do that 10, 15, 20 times. We have to train ourselves to turn back to prayer. Remember, we are human. We're not angels. We're humans. We're going to get distracted. Our goal is to decrease the frequency of the distractions and learn how to manage them when they happen. Chances, again, of us totally eliminating distractions on this earthly plane, slim to none, but we can become better at managing them when they happen.
One of the tools I was given some years ago at a retreat that I find so helpful is just what you're saying, Sister Tina, but to use one word when I need to reorient myself in prayer, if I'm distracted, to say the name of Jesus. And I was told if we do this, and let's say we're distracted and we catch ourselves 100 times in 1 hour of a holy hour, well, at least we said Jesus' name 100 times. And
I
we
love
did
that.
Pray.
What
a prayer.
Wonderful suggestion.
Oh my gosh, it has been so helpful for me. You know, it's so funny because you talk about the movies. What movie is it where they're like, squirrel, squirrel, you know, over and over again, you're distracted. And I mean, for a minute, it's like, girl, girl, body parts, this, that. Well, here instead, let it be Jesus. Like, refocus yourself, kind of snap back into it. And again, at least you said Jesus' name over and over again. I have another follow-up question. So As we're kicking off this 6-week screen detox challenge, I hope you're joining us if you're listening, especially if you have children. This is something your kids need, not just us adults and not just your kids. All of us need it. What if some people are struggling with some sort of explicit images, pornography on the screens, if they're going to kick off this screen detox and there's that additional addiction or exposure to pornography, what should they be aware of and what should they use as tools to help them with this?
Great. So I definitely suggest that if we're going to take the apps off of our phone, off of our devices, our iPads, our computers, that we maybe give the administrative passwords or administrative privileges, that we give that power to someone else. We give them the administrative privileges to create passwords that we cannot guess, that we will not know, so that if we're tempted, once we have taken off our apps, not to just download them right back on our phone or onto the computer. So we have to be smart about this. I encourage everyone to have a buddy or a best friend, a spouse, colleague, somebody who's strong in the faith with you, and have them help you take the apps off of your phone, delete them, and change the password on your phone, or hand your phone or your iPad to your spouse or your colleague or your friend and say, change the password to something I could never guess in a million years.
And this could include, for example, you know, changing the password to the app store. So you have the programs that are available on your phone after you've deleted everything, but you can't get new apps. And you could even delete, if you have an iPhone, you can delete the internet. You can delete Safari from being accessible on your phone. So, and there's a lot of functions that we can shut down on our phones. It's just that we don't want to. And of course, if you're listening, I've received this question a couple times now. Does this 6-week screen detox include relevant radio? Well, no, we're talking about a screen detox, not an ear detox, especially
let's not go crazy.
And I think that this is, Sister Tina, made me laugh because it's like, it's no screens. And we're talking about using if and when we need to use our technology as a means, as a tool to get things done in our life. This should be the goal, to reorient ourselves when we do use our technology, that it's just a tool to assist in life. It's not something we're dependent on, that we are passionate about, that we are triggered if someone takes it away or touches our device.
Amen. Yeah, you know, banking, I think of banking. Most of us do banking over the internet now. It's instantaneous. It's quick.
Oh, I
can pay my bills in 5 minutes, where I remember 20 years ago, because I am old enough to know a time prior to the internet, when I would spend an entire afternoon addressing envelopes, putting a stamp on each envelope, writing out a check.
That sounds lovely.
trust me, I like the banking apps. I do. But it is a tool, you know, and social media is also a tool. It can be a great evangelization tool. But hours upon hours of just scrolling or playing video games, we're losing a lot of our ability to pay attention over a longer term, because the internet, everything is very quick, it's very fast, it's very colorful, it's very gimmicky. It is attractive. The brain craves novelty. The brain loves novelty and new things. And so when we compare reading a book, which is bland, no pictures, black and white print on paper, it really doesn't hold a candle to splashy images on the internet, but yet it does, in a way, take more mental imagery and mental energy to read a book, use our own imagination, understand what we're reading, than to be having splashy images thrown at us on the internet. So there's really some intellectual challenges, I think, that we can improve by actually getting off of so much internet, gaming, and social media, and learn how to have physical activity, games, board games, logic puzzles, learning how to have good, holy conversations is very important. And it's kind of a dying art, to be frank with you, about how do I talk to people in a holy conversation about holy things without both of us having to give up and look at our iPhones. I mean, it's
Isn't that interesting comment, that how easy it is for us to give up on talking about our faith, talking about conversations of things we disagree on, or just going through the effort to make a conversation in awkward situations, especially when we struggle today at social engagement because we're so secure in our phones. Okay, so that actually brings me to another question. A lot of people are going to say, I don't need to do a 6-week screen detox. That's hogwash. Yes, you do. No one can legitimately say that unless perhaps you're an actual hermit and you do not have access to screens. We all need this. So here's the question for you, Sister Tina. Why should we do a screen cleanse even if we don't think we're, quote, addicted?
Right. Because it's a good opportunity. It's like a fast. And scripture tells us that there are times when we can fast and we should fast. And our liturgical calendar throughout the year, we have fasting days, but we also have feasting days. The church is so wise, so much wisdom. The church knows that you can't just gorge and gorge and gorge, but you also can't just fast and fast and fast. It's a balance. And so on our liturgical calendar in the church, we have feast days and then we have fasting days. And I think that it's important that we understand that here on this earthly plane, it's not just all feasting and that it's not also all fasting, that we have to find that balance. And again, the internet, it is a tool. It is entertaining and it can be used as a tool, but too much and we're feasting on it all the time. And
this has been great. Oh, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, and that's just not practical because we don't do that in any other areas of our life.
And that's my favorite way to diet is to actually, and not when I say diet, like not necessarily be on a diet, although that's helpful, but to just have a better pace of how I eat throughout the year is to indulge a little bit more and rejoice on the feast days and to be more prudent and more self-controlled, maybe engaging in fasting in general throughout the week on Wednesdays and Fridays, those days that the church has historically called us to penance.
Exactly. And I do encourage people to do that. You know, what you suggested as well, just get into the natural liturgical rhythm of the church that on these great feast days and solemnities that you celebrate the holy days of obligation, the feasts of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that we have the cake, we have the ice cream, and we celebrate. But then on other days that are the more penitential days, then we don't have those things.
That's Sister Tina Alfieri here on Trending with Timory, one of my favorite guests. Again, she's a certified sexual addiction therapist, a recovery coach for addictive disorders. If you or someone you know has a loved one who's struggling with pornography addiction, she actually is active in the organization Bloom for Catholic Women, helping women who have been betrayed by their spouses through betrayal having to do with pornography and more. So be sure to check them out. We'll post the link on social media and in the show notes for today's show. That's Bloom for Catholic Women. I believe that's .org. Is that right, Sister Tina?
I believe it's .com. I would have to check.
BloomforCatholicWomen.com. BloomforCatholicWomen.com. We'll include a link in the show notes for today's show. Thanks for being with us, Sister Tina. I'll be back and we'll talk about that topic that perhaps you've been waiting for. I was asked to discuss in-law relationships. We'll be right back here on Trending.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I'm so excited. October is the month of the Rosary, and with the month of the Rosary here at Relevant Radio, we are encouraging, inviting all of you to join us in making sure you pray one rosary a day, praying for an end to abortion, praying for our Supreme Court justices as they hear this abortion case, and praying for expectant mothers, that there's an overpouring, an outpouring of support for women. I hope this is something that other women experience. I know this is something that I received. I was so blessed. So let's pray for these things in the month of October. Now, given that it is the month of the Rosary in the tradition of the church, we are kicking off a 4-week series here on Trending. We're going to walk through each of the mysteries, each of the decades of the Rosary here on Trending. This is so important because the hardest thing about praying the Rosary, I believe, is not finding the time. It's meditating upon each of the mysteries. That, I believe, is the hardest thing in praying the Rosary. Because it's easy to find a moment throughout your day to pray one decade and pray another later, or to pray all the decades at once on your drive. I mean, when you're in the shower, there's so many easy ways that we can get our rosary in. It's a matter of staying focused on meditating upon the meditation given. So Monday, this week, our happy hour, we'll be kicking off the Joyful Mysteries all week next week, and we'll start with the Annunciation. So join us in this campaign of praying your daily rosary, and we'll give you some tools of what to ponder when you pray each of the decades of the rosary. You're listening to Trending with Timory. Lo and behold, the conversation that many people have been asking about, which I thought was a rather entertaining conversation to dive into, had to do with in-law relationships. We didn't quite get to it yesterday during our marriage hour, so we can do a marriage quarter of an hour here on Trending. I want to start by sharing a story. A friend of mine recently welcomed her first child, and while she was still pregnant and joyfully showing the baby clothes to her mother-in-law that included lots of pinks and florals and pastels, her mother-in-law then said something along the lines of, "I thought you're supposed to raise your child more gender neutral." When I was told this story, I nearly fell over. I was floored. Who tells someone else to raise their child gender neutral? The audacity to play a science experiment with a child and to tell someone else to do so after generation upon generation, centuries of maleness and femaleness. You see, gender ideology is not based in science, sociology, anthropology, theology, or even reason. Okay, I've got to table that for a second. All I have to say is thank God this wasn't my in-law. But perhaps you weren't told by your mother-in-law that you should raise your child more gender neutral. But perhaps you've been told any number of other things. In fact, it was interesting. My friend ended up responding to her mother-in-law saying, well, I was raised wearing pink and playing outside in the dirt, and I think I turned out just fine. And then she changed the subject and moved on. Thought, well done, because I don't know what I would have said in that moment. I thought that was a very, very mature response without getting into the weeds, without kicking someone out of their house and banishing them from seeing your grandchild in the event that they're going to try to raise them gender neutral. Oh my goodness. So here's the question. How do you navigate in-law relationships? I think this is a really, really good question. We navigate so many things, the good and the bad. We tend to focus more on the bad, from the rude comments about perhaps a dish you were asked to bring to Thanksgiving, hurt feelings about any number of awkward circumstances, conversations, feeling excluded, or even just misunderstandings. Then there's your spouse's experience and feelings about your own family. No wonder the apostles, when talking to Jesus about marriage, commented along the lines of, it's expedient not to marry, when they understood that marriage required fidelity. You see, Jesus calls Christian spouses to fidelity, and that can include, even in difficult circumstances, including the in-laws. So here's, I think, where we have to remember and see our faith kicking into the conversation. Marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract for buying a house. When you buy a house in that contract, you can negotiate the price. You can pay extra for the furniture to keep the house as is with its decoration. Or you can even expect a better deal because as time goes on in the escrow, there's maybe a termite problem or mold damage that must be fixed. Who's going to pay for it? Well, in that contract, you can negotiate, downsell, upsell, you name it. Yes, I did just compare in-laws to termites and mold damage because maybe that's how you feel. But here's the thing. This is what's sad. That's how bad we can think about in-law relationships, or even how bad perhaps it is for you. Maybe the house, for example, in the instance of going through a house inspection, my mom's a real estate agent. I know a lot about a lot of house stuff and the analogies. You do a house inspection when you buy a house, right? And when you go through the house inspection, that kind of gives you the opportunity to renegotiate, lower prices, get out of the deal, whatever it might be. Well, maybe you might discover that you still want the house or the property, but the house is an absolute teardown. And maybe you feel that way once you got married and you're frustrated about your in-laws and the relationships. Here's the dirty little secret that we still tend to have a hard time understanding. You can't negotiate away in-laws or modify them the way you modify a contract for a house as things come up. All we can do is work on our attitude, actions, mindset, and yes, boundaries. Remember I mentioned a little earlier ago that marriage is a covenant? Well, a marriage is a covenant which is totally different from a contract in the respect that a covenant, throughout all of salvation history, throughout all of biblical history, a covenant is an exchange of persons. Covenants make family. So that means if covenants make family, this is part of the reason why both sides of the family get together for the wedding celebration. You're making family with each other, with your spouse's family. But then people say, but I chose my spouse, not their family. Well, a covenant in the Catholic Church makes family. First and foremost, your spouse. That is your vocation. But that includes your spouse's family as well. So if a covenant makes family, and we are living in Christian marriages and called to be a Christian witness by our marriage, this means that, guess what? This is good news. God inspires us with the graces in marriage to live out that vocation. And that means that their grace is there even when in challenging circumstances, learning to love and be loved by your in-laws. This is us being called in faith to fulfill the covenant of matrimony. That's why we can pray for guidance and pray for even a softening of heart when it comes to in-law relationships. One of the things I think that's always so important to remember when dealing with in-law relationships, and maybe you have a tip that you can share. We'll discuss this more if you want during our next marriage hour. I'd love to hear from you. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending to connect. One of the things I always remind myself that I think is a good reminder that when we're dealing with in-laws, that we have to remember the great love that they had first for our spouse and how they helped in forming our spouse for better and for worse, and how this is something that we can hold in common with our in-laws, the love they have for our spouse. The other thing I think that's important is to understand the love your own spouse has for their own family, how they've been self-giving to their family, how they've shown sacrificial love to their family, and how we're called to love that family in a similar way. Will it be perfect and exactly the same? No, because we didn't grow up and have all the same memories and moments. But I think that the love our in-laws have for our spouse, as well as the love our spouse has for their family, is a really good starting point to soften our hearts and minds and to remember again that marriage is a covenant with the graces bestowed upon us to live out that vocation. I was really thinking about this yesterday. I don't think that marriage would be for life, permanent, or that it would even be required that you remain faithful in marriage if it sanctified us overnight, or even in just over 20 years for people. You see, marriage is a vocation. It's a path to holiness. And that includes working through the challenges and collaborating in navigating family and in-law relationships. You see, life on earth is a matter of working out our salvation. Remember that phrase, not of this world? Well, not of this world is a reminder for us to not succumb to all of the in-law jokes that can lead us to be embittered and angry and resentful. And yes, circumstances good and bad, and sometimes the worst that occur. I think that we have to remember our homes, especially as families. Our homes are domestic churches. Our family is a domestic church. And the domestic church should model what the church herself has. And one of the sacraments, one of the great gifts, is the merciful forgiveness given by Jesus Christ in the sacrament of reconciliation. And we have the opportunity to model that forgiveness, that compassion, to model the letting go of that the church herself and Jesus Christ models and gives to all of us. We have to learn a new kind of generosity in marriage, unconditional love. All of these things are challenging moments, but I think one of the things we have to end on pondering when we talk about in-law relationships as well is boundaries. There's an incredible book, in fact, we'll include it in the show notes for today. It's written by a Christian author, and it brings a lot of biblical principles into having boundaries. And it's something that's important for people to learn how to have with your family, with your in-laws. I think it should be required reading, in fact, for marriage prep. But I hope this has been helpful as we ponder in-law relationships. And if you have thoughts, pieces of wisdom, we'd love to hear from you. Taking away with the Family Rosary, Across America next. Is happiness something that can be passed on? This is Tim Ray from Trending with Tim Ray. If you haven't joined us yet for a weekly happy hour, join us this Monday. We're also kicking off our series of meditating this month in October on the Rosary. We'll unpack this week, starting Monday, the joyful mysteries, starting with the Annunciation. Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.